Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you so very much that we can come into your house on this Lord's Day. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, and that we can all be here together to worship you. And we ask your blessings upon those who cannot be with us today for one reason or another. We pray for any who may be ill, that you will touch and strengthen them and raise them up and meet their needs. And pray that you'll help us all to walk in fellowship with you and to do your will day by day. We do thank you so much for your grace and mercy, your love that binds us together in one in Christ Jesus. Pray that you'll help us, our Father, to truly honor and magnify your name in all that we do and say. May the Lord Jesus be glorified, we pray, in his holy name. Amen. Scripture reading. We'll read from Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Beginning at verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appear unto thee, when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Baku. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave, and that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. Sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Okay, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We'll be looking at that in a few moments. Praying for those that are having difficulties right now. Nancy Smith was in the hospital. At first they had thought she was having a stroke, but it was not. It was an oxygen deprivation, they say. She didn't have enough oxygen, and so she was disoriented and confused, and so they were afraid she had had a stroke. But she was in the hospital over at the Einstein Montgomery. I went to see her, and she seemed to be doing quite well. So keep her in your prayers, and pray that the Lord will give her a full recovery from that. And also for Ken Weber, he's, as I said last week, I believe he is back at Park House again, but still having difficulty getting around. So keep him in your prayers. And who else? Is there someone else? Maybe not. Anyway, we know there are others, I'm sure, that have needs. Pray for Bob and Marilyn, and for Elena, and others that God will meet their needs. And okay, let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for your word this morning. We thank you that we can sing these songs of praise and thanksgiving, especially about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to us. Lord, as we have communion later on this morning, we just pray that it will be a time that's very significant to each one of us, that as we remember our Lord Jesus and what he's done for us, and taking our sins upon himself and going to the cross and dying in our place, that we might have everlasting life, and that we might be forgiven and restored to a relationship with you. Lord, how we praise you and thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We do pray for those this morning who are ill, those who are not doing too well, those who are uncomfortable perhaps. We ask you to just strengthen them and bless them and keep them in your care. We thank you for each one who is here this morning. We pray for any who may be having difficulties, even though they're here. You'll strengthen each one and help us as a church to go forward and to do your will. We just pray that you'll strengthen us and keep us in your care. We do pray, our Father, for our country today. We ask you to bless the leaders of our nation. Give them wisdom and understanding as they seek to guide us in the right direction. We know there's so much going on, and now with all of the violence that's happened just recently with these mass killings, it grieves our hearts, of course, but we just pray that something could be done that would curtail all of this violence. We know that it's something that's indicative of these days in which we live. Just like in the days of Noah, it said the whole earth was filled with violence. And we know that someday the Lord Jesus is coming again to set everything right. But we pray that even now we might be able to see some kind of peaceful resolution to this. And we just commit it all into your hands. And we thank you for the freedom that we continue to enjoy, freedom to worship, freedom to serve you. And we pray that you would help us, our Father, to be good witnesses day by day in all that we do and say. Do be with our missionaries, the ones that are taking your word around the world. We just thank you for each one of them, and I ask you to bless them and help them as they seek to win others to Christ. And help us, our Father, too, to reach out to those around us that we might be able to see them come to know you as well. Lord, have mercy upon us, lead us and guide us and direct us as we look into your word now. We pray that each one of us would receive something that would be helpful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking at Back to Bethel this morning. Remember, Bethel is the house of God where Jacob met the Lord for the first time. God in his grace and mercy chose Jacob for a very special cause. From birth, he was chosen to be the one to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, to be the father of the nation of Israel. We've seen how God blessed him in spite of his devious ways many times, and has led him throughout his life. When he was fleeing from his brother, he had his first encounter with God at this place named Bethel, because he sensed the presence of God there. He had the vision of the angels going up and down the ladder, and all of that speaks of the Lord Jesus and his salvation. But now he's on his way back to the promised land. God has told him to return, and he is seeking to obey. Here we find in this chapter that we read this morning, he has another special encounter with God at this place that he named Bethel, or in this case he calls it El Bethel. Notice the difference in the emphasis that he puts. Bethel is the house of God. El Bethel is the God of the house of God, right? So here we have a greater emphasis on the presence of God. Now, right before this, he had this encounter with God at a place he called Peniel. We saw this last week, which means the face of God, where it says a man wrestled with him throughout the night, and Jacob would not let him go. So finally, this man, or this angel, or as Jacob calls him in chapter 32, verse 30, it says, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So he considered it God himself who had come to deliver a message, actually, to him, and to let him know that he's present. And this man wrestled with him, and it was getting light out. He said, let me go. I've got to go. Jacob continued to cling to him, and so he threw his hip out of joint. And ever after that, Jacob had a limp. And he walked, as he would walk, he would limp along. So this was something that he never forgot, right? One of those experiences, you know. We've had, I'm sure, at times there's certain things that's happened in our lives that we never forget, you know. Significant times that mean a lot to us. I know, thinking about it, the first time we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. That is one of the greatest occasions that we could possibly have, isn't it? I remember how the Lord drew me to himself when I was 15 years old. And I came to know him at this revival meeting, we called it. And something you don't forget. I'm sure you're thinking back to the time that you came to know the Lord. At least I hope there was a time when you've come to know Him. If you don't know Him, then certainly you need to put your faith and trust in Him. But here we see Jacob demanded that God give him a blessing before he would let him go. This angel, this man that he was wrestling with, he says, "Bless me." And so finally, he said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Jacob." You remember what Jacob means? He's a schemer, right? The manipulator, the crook, if you will. You know, he did all kinds of things. And the heel grabber is actually what it meant originally, but always trying to work something out that dishonestly many times. So he said, "That's my name." He says, "No, from now on your name is going to be Israel." Israel, which means a prince with God. See, when he came in contact with the Lord, it changed his life completely, right? Now we know, just like us, right? If we're honest, you know, when you're saved, it's not that everything changes all at one time, is it? You still have some of the same problems you've had before, maybe all of the problems. Sometimes they even get worse, right? And so we have to face life, but we have Christ with us to face it. And that's the way it was with Jacob. After this, you know, you would think, all right, from now on, he's going to be an angel. Well, he's not. He's not an angel. He still has the same nature as he always had. It's just that God is with him to help him through these situations. Unfortunately, old Jacob didn't die just quickly. He didn't disappear immediately. He continued to seek to manipulate various people and situations. That was his habit, his lifestyle, if you will. And it didn't go away quickly, like we as believers sometimes. We still hang on to some of the old ways that we need to allow to go, right? Drop them, leave them, so that we might be able to serve the Lord in a greater way. We allow the old nature sometimes to direct instead of the Lord, instead of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Jacob had feared meeting his brother, you remember? We talked a little bit about this last week. 20 years before this, you remember, he had stolen the blessing from his brother. Esau was the older brother and was supposed to get the blessing, but Jacob tricked his father into giving it to him instead. And Esau had said at that time, "I'm going to kill him." Right? He threatened him, right? And so Jacob took it seriously and he went away. And now for 20 years he's been dreading meeting his brother again. But we find that, you know, fear is a strange thing. And sometimes it disables us, doesn't it? You know, and here Jacob all this time was afraid. He went through all this procedure of dividing his family up so that Esau wouldn't kill everybody at once. And when Esau got there, what did he do? He takes Jacob and he hugs him. You know, and they're reconciled, and he has forgiven him everything. He doesn't hold any of his misdeeds against him anymore, and they parted as friends. Now I want to read Genesis 33, verse 17. See here what happened next. "And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth," which means booths, right? "And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. when he came from Padanaram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it Elohi Israel. Okay, so here we find Jacob moving on into the promised land, okay? But he hasn't gone where God told him to go. God told him to go back to Bethel. So what does he do? He stops at Shechem and sets up, buys some property there, so he didn't just stay a few days. This was something permanent, right? I don't know how long he was there. I was reading a message someone else had written, and he figured he had been there for 10 years. I don't know how he figured that, but anyway, that's what he said. So I don't really know how long it was, but I know it was some period of time because he bought property and everything else. And now we come to chapter 35. I'm going to skip 34 for a moment. You can read that when you get home, right? Chapter 34. And it's kind of an eye-opening chapter, but anyway, you can read that when you get home. So anyway, God calls Jacob to go back to Bethel. We've seen that. He's mentioned this several times. And now, in verse 1, God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." So here God is calling Jacob back to the place of worship, the place where he had set up an altar to God, the God who had appeared to him and had blessed him. And here he had stopped there, as I mentioned before, on his way to live with Laban at this place called Luz, which he renamed Bethel because of the incident that he had there and this encounter with God. And now God says, "I want you to go back to Bethel. Let's get back together. Let's have worship. Let's enjoy each other's presence. Go there and dwell there." You know, it'd be wonderful to dwell in the place of worship, the house of God. David speaks about that in his psalm, doesn't he? "Thou might dwell in the house of the Lord forever," right? And we have that to look forward to, too, as Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Yeah? And we can go there and live with him forever, to be in his presence. But even now, God's with us, right? And we are to seek to live with him and to follow in his way. And he says, go there and build an altar unto God to worship. Now, we skipped over chapter 34, but anyway, this whole Shechem incident, everything that happened there, was because Jacob went to Shechem instead of to Bethel. You see, he stopped short. And that led to all of this other that happened. And so we should listen very carefully to what God tells us to do, right? To the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, and allow him to lead us, that we don't make these terrible mistakes that lead to tragedy. Okay, so God called him back to Bethel. And now he's going to obey, he's going to go. But first of all, he tells his family in verse 2 that there's cleansing required. Before going into the presence of God, we need to make sure that our heart is cleansed, right? "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me," it says, right? So he's going to cleanse us away. First of all, he says, "Put away the strange gods that are among you." You remember when they fled from Laban Rachel, Jacob's wife, stole the household idols from her father and had them with her. And so apparently some of the others had these idols as well, and other types of gods, strange gods that they were worshiping. They didn't really know the true and the living God. And so now he says, cleanse away all these things. Put them away. Be clean. Change your garments. Leave it all behind. Let's have a clean start. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. I noticed that as I was reading it again this morning. Not only was God with him at Bethel, but he says, he was with me in the way which I went. You see? And that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. The Lord is with us at all times, right? When we come together for worship, yes, sometimes he manifests himself in a great way. Other times, he is with us even when we don't realize it. We don't sense his nearness, perhaps, but he's there to guide and to direct and to help us. I like that. He was with me in the way which I went. So the Lord is always there. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? Isn't that wonderful? So here they purify themselves. They cleanse themselves. They take a bath. They leave all of this junk behind. These false gods. And clean house. Take it away. And he took it and he says he hid it under the oak which was by Shechem. So there at Shechem, he's leaving everything behind. All of this old life is left behind, and he's going forward to go and to worship the Lord. He's leaving all the stuff behind. And we find that God protected him as they went along. In verse 5, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So they needed protection from the Canaanites, because the Canaanites hated them because of what had happened at Shechem. I can look at chapter 34, verse 30. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with the harlot? So we see what had happened. These two sons of Jacob had deceived the men of Shechem and had killed them because their sister had been dishonored. That's the whole story. You can read that when you have an opportunity. But here it speaks about the terror of God. You know, it's a fearful thing, as Scripture says, to fall into the hands of the living God. And these people, they were afraid to touch Jacob or any of his family because God had put this fear into their hearts to protect them from all harm. And God is able to do that. Notice verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. So once again we see here he's building this altar in honor of God, worshiping him, understanding who he is, that he's always with him to help him in every situation, and emphasizing the power of God to protect him. So this is, as I said before, what we have in Christ. that he is there to help us through every situation, and we should worship him and adore him because of that. Jesus went to the altar and was slain for us on the cross. He died there to take our sins upon himself and to establish this eternal relationship with him. So we can thank him and praise him for that. Then we find God reaffirmed his promises to Jacob here in this other passage, where he's already talked about this before. He's going to make him a great nation. He's going to bless him, and he's pleased that Jacob has finally obeyed him and has come this far. And he reminds him of his new name, Israel, what it signifies. But Jacob offers here a drink offering and anoints the pillar, calls the place once again Bethel. You know, Paul uses this picture over in of himself and his service over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. Paul is talking about his service for the believers. He says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." He said, the picture here is he's pouring out a drink offering on the sacrifice, his life he is giving in behalf of these people that he's ministering to, you see. And he's willing to do that and rejoicing that God has given him the wonderful privilege of reaching out to them and helping them to come to know him personally. So then this last passage, part of the chapter, speaks about joy and sorrow. From verse 16, we find that as they traveled, Rachel, who was pregnant, began to be in labor, and she had a difficult time, a difficult childbirth with this baby boy that she brought into the world. You know, that's always a joyful occasion, isn't it? When a child is born into the world, you're filled with joy, but at the same time there's sorrow, because in the bringing of life into this world, her life was taken from her. She died. And so you can imagine how Jacob and the others must have felt. She named her son in her dying moments, suffering. She named him Ben-Oni, which means the son of my sorrow. That was what she was thinking, you see. But Jacob then changed his name to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. The right hand, of course, is always the hand of strength and honor, right? It says Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, right? That's the place of authority. And here Jacob is rejoicing in his son, not that he didn't sorrow for his wife because she was his favorite. And yet he was glad to have a new son. This is his last of his sons. And so Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, it says, which is Bethlehem. And I understand that the grave is over there. It says here, at the time this was written, it was still there. And I believe there is still a marker that shows where Rachel is buried there in Israel, near Bethlehem. So he buries his wife. And then there's several others in this. It speaks of death here. Back in verse 8, which I skipped over, it says that Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel, under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bakuth, which means the oak of weeping. So they were sorrowing over the death of this older lady who had been the nurse of Rebekah, Isaac's wife, you remember? And now she somehow was with them and passed away on the trip back to the Promised Land. And then towards the end here, we find Isaac also. Jacob finally got back to see his father, you know. His mother had already passed away, but his father was still there. And same place, at Mamre, place where Abraham had been, and now Isaac is still living there. And he's 180 years old. And then it says that Isaac gave up the ghost and died, was gathered under his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So now we find Esau and Jacob, who were estranged for so long, are now back together, and they have buried their father and sorrowed together, no doubt, but at least they are on friendly terms. So there are many lessons, you know, for us to learn from Jacob's life. We've been through this whole thing. Basically, this is pretty well the end of the main part about Jacob's life, and the emphasis will fall now on Joseph. So we'll be looking at Joseph for a while and seeing some of the things that happened to him. I'm sure we're more familiar, perhaps, with Joseph's life and what he went through. But Jacob had many lessons to learn in life, didn't he? And I hope that we don't wait as long as he did to learn the lessons that we can. So, as he did, I would suggest that we come back to Bethel, to the place where God is, the place of worship, the place of a nearness to him, so to speak, draw near to the Lord and worship him continually. I think this would be pleasing to him and would be helpful to us. We're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper, thinking about our Lord Jesus and what he has done to make our relationship with God possible. If it were not for his sacrifice, we would be lost. We would be without hope. But we're thankful that he was willing to humble himself, to become a man, and to become a servant, and to die for our sins, that we might have everlasting life. Let's turn in our hymn books to number